This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies wrap-up podcast for the finale. I am Brian Coney, and here with me this week is the great Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
Oh, this week stings, Brian, but I deserve it. We're here. We did it. We got here for the finale. It's not 3 o'clock in the morning. Feeling good. Feeling good. Glad to be back.
Not as good as CT's feeling, but pretty good nonetheless. Yes.
So do we want to open with the discussion about the CT versus banana thing where you unleash on the world, or do we want to end the podcast with that discussion?
I guess we could probably end with it. I feel like we could build up to it and see if anything from this episode adds to his credence one way or the other. So we can probably get to it. So I obviously lived it. I talked through it. What did you listening to me for 42 minutes straight? What was that experience like?
So what's so funny is, like, you're out here saying you've never talked for 20 minutes at a time. Like, I do that every week on the podcast. So it really isn't like a thing to me. But I was happy for you. I really enjoyed it. What is so funny to me that we didn't discuss on the podcast, but we discussed offline, is, like, you told me, like, oh, you left the questions in the questions doc, like, you had deleted some of them, and then you realized, like, I might want some of them, so you left them. And then separately, you were like, I went on, like, a crazy rant about bananas versus CT. So I was waiting when you talked about CT for, like, it to just kind of come naturally, and you're like, I wonder if he is the goat, and, like, whatever. And then when you were like, we have a question, was it from Stuart? You were like, we have a question about bananas versus CT. And I'm out here like, what? You deleted the question, didn't tell me. So it looks like I dodged it. But then I said to you, thank God, because the last thing I wanted to talk about at 7 in the morning at the end of the podcast was. And you were so, you had great stats for Mad Challenge stats and your own stats and the challenge wiki, which you said was not as good as challenge. I was loving it. I really
I stand
it.
By that. I just challenge stats with my life, basically. So, but yeah, no, because it really was like percolating. As I told you, it was really percolating in my head for like a full day. I was like going back and forth thinking, okay, CT's probably going to win this. So what does that mean? And then I was like, all right, I need a place to like talk about this. And then I want to like bring it up like normally with you. I feel like you would make fun of me. Oh, no, we'll wait to see if he wins. It's always about bananas. So and then when you said, all right, we're doing this individually, I was like, all right, this is perfect. I got like a whole outlet just to myself to just vent off to. And then I, you know, shoot the messages to Challenge Stats, try to get that research. I got everything going.
I don't love the narrative that you think I wouldn't have listened to you if I were here on the podcast, but I chose to listen to you on my own time, but that's fine. No, I mean, I texted you. I loved what you said. I thought you laid out the case extremely clearly. There were so many interesting things. We said we're going to talk about the end. We're talking about it now. There were so many interesting things. And some people did write in their own opinion, so it was great. I think people are interested.
So I put out a poll. Obviously, this is not official. Of a real.
Well, wait, hold on for 1 second, because I want to compliment you first after you insulted me. So, like, I think you laid it out really interestingly. I texted you that. It's fascinating. Normally, we'd feel like we'd be comparing apples to oranges. And in a way, comparing wins is sort of apples to oranges. But to compare their direct matchups when they had partners who are pretty much good comps, like Frank versus Wes as partners, like that's fascinating. Camilla versus, mm-hmm. oh my God, who's the other one now? My brain is melting.
DM.
Yeah, like incredible comps to just have. But I do think there's a complete definitive answer. So maybe this is why you didn't want to talk to me about it on a pod, because like there's one clear answer, and to me it's non-negotiable. The second best answer to my clear answer is, and I'll wait for the poll, but the second best answer to my clear answer is what you said, which is like, if you're willing to make the case, you probably have the facts to support it, and then you're correct in whatever facts you've used, because it is close, albeit mm-hmm. definitive.
Interesting, because I've also feel it's definitive, and I feel like I'm going to be on the minority side of it, but that's interesting. So I put out the poll. So what do you guess is the percentage for this is as of, so it's, I mean, we're probably not going to get that many more votes, 212 votes. What percentage do you think is for CT?
So I feel like Rourke on Finding Mr. Height when she has to guess the percentages. I voted very early on when there were like 58 people in the poll. So if it has stayed that way, I'm like cheating. I would tell you that I would have guessed sight unseen that it would be, even including recency bias of him having just won the season, it would be like 65-35 bananas. But based on what I saw of 58 votes, we're getting like a 75-25 CT.
Yeah, it's 78% right now. 78% CT, 22% bananas. Currently, who is the GOAT?
Well, that's wrong.
On Twitter.
It's wrong.
Right. It's definitely not, wrong, whether you believe it is CT, it is definitely not like a 5-1 or for 3-1 like split. Like that's just not, it's just not that definitive. So you say, but you say you have a definitive answer. So what is your definitive answer?
Well, my definitive answer is that it's bananas, which is why I said that the poll was wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I thought about it more and more. And I think I would give, I give him the slight edge right now that he is still the GOAT.
You know what it is, too, is like, and I think people can, and this is why I think your answer is so, it's such a good answer of like, whatever, whoever's making the case is right, because it's a moving target. What does the GOAT mean? Like, honestly, to me, saying bananas isn't the best challenge player, or isn't the GOAT of the challenge, is like saying Boston Rob isn't the GOAT of Survivor. Like, is he the best player to ever play the game? That's 50 podcasts for Rob to do to discuss it. But is mm-hmm. he objectively the top of the pyramid, the number one, the face of Survivor? Yes. Even though Tony's the two, again, like it's already coming in, Sandra's to it, like whatever. It's just like, this is who, and you addressed this, I thought, well, when you were going through the facts of like, there's other stuff, the showmanship, the like, I think you gave the edge to CT on the soft factors, but that's to me where Bananas wins it. He has made himself the face. He has made himself the GOAT. He has sold the merch. He has the 7 rings. He's got the podcast on the Ringer. Like, he's the face of the challenge. He has not been dethroned as the face of the challenge by CT. And so that's to me where the decision lives and dies.
That's so interesting that's what tipped the scale. Because for me, what tipped the scale is, I view this as just looking at just the stats, and the facts. I tip the scale towards bananas. I see people always have been responding to this being like, oh, but like the fear factor of CT, and like I would pick him to win any season going forward. And like, to me, I would almost put that aside. I think if you're thinking of like the greatest of all time, the way I do it is, this is the final season of the challenge. It's over. It's done. God forbid. It's never coming back. You only look from this point in the past and how, like, what actually happened. What were the actual results? Who performed the greatest of anyone? And for me, I still point to he still has 2 more titles. And I keep coming back to, I think the most definitive piece of this debate was like that single elimination that they had in free agents against each other right before the final, where you could argue they were both at like the peak of their powers, probably physically, both in like the prime of their career, although CT's maybe right now he is, but I think back then, like physically, he's probably the strongest or whatever he's been. And Bananas beats him head to head in a puzzle and goes on to win that season. I think that is like the biggest point that either of them have against each other. And for that, it's like, if it was 50-50, that pushes him to like 52%.
I'm curious why
that gives him the edge.
I think last week you like were like putting aside Bananas' backpack. Is that just because CT hadn't gone through like having been on the challenge and like the mental stress and all of that? Or like, why do you discard that as like a matchup for CT's favor?
I discard it because it wasn't even technically them going against each other. Like, that's like, it was them going against each other, but it wasn't like the you know, they weren't voted in. Like, it wasn't the surrounding factors of a challenge elimination to put them in against each other. So, like, technically, that was, again, like Bananas against Tyler. And, like, this was the elimination between that was how you do against CT. Yeah. It wasn't, like, how CT, like, CT doesn't get anything for winning that. So, well, it's not, like, a plus for him. Like, it's a cool, it's, like, an iconic moment, obviously. But, like, if that was their elimination, then that, I think that's a huge, huge difference of how I view that. But because it wasn't technically him versus him, I view it differently.
See, that's interesting. If anyone is going to add us that we're wrong, we've already sort of set the table with, like, besides that I said it was definitive, we've set the table with, like, if you want to make the case, you're probably right based on what metrics and also what you think the greatest challenge. Like, to me, it's a TV show, so it's not going to come down to me just crunching the numbers of, like, pure athletic ability. Although I think I do. I think the CT backpack, Bananas backpack, is sort of like the point against what I've said gives Bananas the edge. So, like, because to me, the fact that it technically, and we're going to get into this with, I think your argument is closer to Scally and Matt's for the beep beep, we'll get to that, where it's like, oh, it just isn't. So it isn't. Like, to me, it's like totally as all the makings of an elimination, what can be brought into it to sort of pull it away from that is that, like, CT doesn't have the stress and the, like, exhaustion and the whatever that comes along with having been on the challenge and, like, the pressure. On the flip side, to your point, CT's got nothing to lose, so if anything, he should be even less motivated to win, so it's, like, even worse for Bananas. But we don't need to debate that. I think it's interesting we both agree. I think you seem to think I wasn't going to come in and say this about Bananas, but
no,
I don't love Bananas as a person, like, it's personal. Right. No, but I think his contributions to the show are undeniable. And the fact that he has built a career, Alex Chester said this to me recently, where it's like, he used to think, like, was it Shaq and Kobe? Tell me, he was like, there was one basketball player who, like, did all of these other things, and people, like, thought that that was a negative in their column. And then there was, like, one basketball player who, like, all they did was the show, and, like, that was looked upon as, like, oh, they're the best because it's, like, their only focus. And I actually think that Bananas is venture out.
I think that's
out.
Shaq and Kobe. Yeah. Okay, I think that's Shaq and Kobe.
So, like, Alex, so it's Bananas is venture beyond sort of the world of the challenge on the back of the challenge, to me, only supports his seat at the top of the pyramid rather than, like, takes away, like, oh, he's doing other stuff, where CT is just kind of like, I don't know, is CT plateauing here as just, like, the de facto winner of the challenge? That should be in a point in his column, and yet I somehow feel a little bit like he's got to elevate on this. He can't just be, like, running circles around these plebs and then, like, get the title bestowed on him. I don't know. Please. I don't know. That's the nicest I'll be about Bananas in for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's very tough. And another argument I saw tossed around a lot was the if of, like, oh, well, if CT doesn't, you know, get into fights and gets banned, he probably wins a couple more and all that stuff. And again, I think that's even more of it's a point for Bananas. I think in my head, greatest of all time is also, like, of all time. So, like, you being there, your availability, you're being on the shows, you not getting kicked off is something that Johnny had that CT now has. Like, there have been a lot of moments over the last few years that old CT might have gotten into fights and kind of kicked off and all that stuff, but that CT is, you know, overcome that, and he's a lot better person and all that for doing so. But old CT didn't do that, and that was, like, a negative against him. So it's not like an if, it's just, like, again, it's just, like, what happened. So that's how I view it.
And I do think some people wrote in, I think Becca wrote in pro CT. I've seen this going around too, that it's like CT had this whole arc with Diem. CT has CJ. CT has, like, more beyond the game and beyond professionally, everything I just said about Bananas beyond the game. Like, CT has shown us his life in a way that Bananas has been extremely adamant and resistant against. Like, he didn't want Morgan to be on the show. He did, like, he's hidden all of his stuff and has a lot hidden about him. Where CT has given you more of that, like, emotional ride. And so, again, if somebody is putting that in, like, that's part of it, that he's gone through the growth arc that he has, and he's gone through having this deep love and having this tragedy and what, like, then, it, you know, again, we're comparing, like, two absolute The reality is, if neither one of them was on the challenge, we would not probably still have the show, right? Like, they're such a force, both of them in the challenge. But absolutely, I think it's still at this point bananas. Now, can he be dethroned by CT? Because it seems like CT's got way more gas left in the tank. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a few seasons ago, I was saying, I don't want to put this on you, but I was like, CT's got to hang it up for a little while.
Oh, I'm sure that was definitely not a minority opinion. That was for sure.
Well, let's talk about the coronation of the double victory, which on All-Stars, Tyler reminds us that he's also had a back-to-back victory. So don't get too excited about that stat, CT. But we got to give it up. CT's 1,000th win, 5th win. It kind of feels like it's been more than 5, but 5th win. 2nd in a row, 2nd consecutive win. And Casey, who saw Casey and CT winning this as a partnership? But we'll talk about that. But Casey's first win, 3rd season, 1st win.
Yeah, the Big Brother reign continues. Back-to-back Big Brother wins. So they got the Big Brother dynasty is in full effect. So look out for Josh winning Challenge 38.
I didn't mean to laugh. I'm so sorry.
But yeah, I did not see the partners things coming. Obviously, there's no way to like build up for the show storyline of like CT and Casey working together. So like, I'm not even going to pretend to knock them for that. Like, that would have been crazy if they even put that in there. It was very interesting to see Casey get the win. Interesting for our must lose dress that we'll get into, that CT and Casey, I talked about this last week, were the last two picks of that draft, and they were the two winners. So kudos for us for nailing the must lose draft. We picked the people who had to lose.
We all won. It's so, when you said we can't knock MTV for not showing the evolution of like Casey and CT's partnership, agreed. But I do think, and this is going to be something I'm going to hammer on this episode, is just like, it's a question with the format. And it was the same with last season. Like, we don't have any rooting interest in these teams, in these partnerships. Does that detract anything? And we'll go back. Don't worry, we'll go back and we'll talk about it. But I just want to know from you now, like, that was to the listeners, not to you.
Right.
Does it take anything away or not from the win of CT and Casey that we have no investment in them as a pair?
It doesn't, because I almost, like, I know technically they won as a pair and it's going to go down as like a pair win, but I almost just view this as like individual wins, because like they've gone, like they had all the different pairs at the beginning, they had all the different teams in the middle, they had individual portion of the final, a team portion of the final, and then it ends in a pair. Like this is not like, you know, a rivals team winning their season. Like, this has just happened. This is CT's win and this is Casey's win, and they just happened to do it together, basically, is how I view it.
It's interesting. I like that sort of positioning of it, but I did feel a little bit like, okay, like, yeah, like CT won, okay, whatever. Casey won, okay, whatever. Not whatever. I'm happy for Casey. I think this is sort of like Casey's coronation. Like, I think when she showed up here, you know, there's a reason she's the last woman picked in the must lose draft, second to last person overall, or she was the last person overall picked, right? Matt picked CT.
Yeah.
So like, even though she's never won, there's a reason that 3 seasons in and like nobody wants her on the team, because we've been expecting her to win. So like, good on her. She had a very emotional journey. A lot to talk about with her. I'm happy for her. I do just like miss when there were days like this rivals pair or this team, even the cell, the 4 of them, like that configuration in the beginning, I would have been able to continue to root for. I just think like in the last leg to switch it up, it's like hard to get your like energy into rooting for them. And maybe that's just CT taking it away. Cause I wasn't really, CT deserves all of my respect. 100%. I love CT. I do not want to lose sight of that, but I was not rooting for him to win the season. And so maybe that's also just what I had a hard time with.
Yeah. I think what also makes it a little bit easier is they didn't disband the teams like the last episode right before. Like, this is now basically the 3rd episode, because they disbanded the teams the end of the episode 2 weeks ago. So they disbanded it then. We had all of last week with the teams gone, and obviously this one. So it almost feels like the teams are so far gone that it just, again, back to these group of individuals that are just randomly grouped and paired together, that it doesn't feel as unsatisfying as if it was like Emerald and the teams all the way up until the end, and then like the start this episode, TJ is like, okay, the teams are gone, and then it like it ends. So like, we had enough build up in my head that the teams have been so have been gone for so long that it's like, okay, it's just individuals and how they're kind of paired together.
I mean, when I said teams, I meant like Garnet and Amethyst, like purple and orange diamond. Only because I just meant like they've run at least the majority of the final. Like, you know, it was just like one leg of the final with the pairs and then they're the joint winners. But you're right. If you kind of like think of it more as an individual, maybe that makes a difference. But let's take it back. Overall thoughts on the final structure. I feel like in the last 7.5 years we've been doing this, we've seen a lot of different formats, some much more successful than others. Sam says, what were your thoughts on the final and the numerous times they had to complete a puzzle? But final in general.
It wasn't my favorite final, but I didn't mind it for the fact that I've seen a lot of other people not like it, that it was not that difficult. Like, I think it was sort of difficult, but again, I think we've kind of been in agreement on this. We don't need these people dropping dead and keeling over through a final. We don't need them sleeping over in, you know, 10 degree weather and getting frostbite. Like, that does nothing for the entertainment of the final, does nothing for art, like at any level of entertainment. So it not being super challenging was not my biggest gripe. I wish there were a few less puzzles. I wish it was more checkpointy stuff rather than puzzly stuff. And I wish like the last checkpoint was more than just memorizing 20 digits. I wish there was a cooler segment to end it on. But overall, I was okay with the final.
So I think all of those points are extremely valid. I will say I thought this was one of the more successful finals we've had in a while. So while those things, I agree, could have been improved, I just think compared to last season, like, this was an exciting nail biter to me. And so for that reason alone, I thought it was extremely successful. I thought the ways in which momentum is killed has been killed in the past, this didn't have. And it's a lot to think about of like who finished first and who gets what reward and what punishment. And there's a lot of controversy with that, with Casey and Kyle being able to pick their partners. But I think from just like a momentum perspective, it kept good momentum. I was really interested. I did not know who was going to win. I was at the edge of my seat, like all of those good things. I'm shocked to hear people thought it wasn't difficult. I thought it looked, they nailed how appropriately difficult it should be, where like Devin's about to gas out, but is not going to die, to your point. Mm-hmm. Casey at the end, right? Like, Casey wins and can't get up off the ground. She is like winded and exhausted. So I think that's what you want. Like, the person who's finishing is barely there. And the last place person isn't dead, but struggled. Like, that, I think they nailed the difficulty. I thought that the atmosphere was beautiful. I agree with the puzzle checkpoints, sort of. I did have the thought, like, remember when it was like drink a gross beer or just drink beer and like play cornhole? Like, the checkpoints have really kind of gotten away from us a little bit. I also do think, again, when we'll talk about the torpedo, like, we have to get away from puzzles that people can just know the answer to. Like, most people who have done puzzles have probably seen that matchstick puzzle. So the torpedo version is usually like matchsticks. So I don't love that. But all in all, I just thought you can nitpick it, but it was an exciting hour and whatever of television.
Yeah, I think by far the biggest plus was it did not have any timed, like, collection of timed components where we're left in the complete dark as to who's really doing better than others. And like you talked about, it had an actual finish. Like, this is the last thing you do. Whoever does this first wins. And it was like an extended thing. Sometimes in other finals where it's the last part, it's like you get a minute head start and the whole thing takes like 10 minutes. Like, this seemed like an extended thing where people could have messed up the last checkpoint. And so there was a dramatic finish. So yeah, that was good. But again, I wish like the last checkpoint was more exciting, but the fact that it had an actual finish was good.
So let's go back to the first checkpoint we saw in this episode, which was more of just like a challenge than a checkpoint. Again, this is where my first thought was like, remember the checkpoints were like high five each other and go to the next one.
Right.
But first of all, Devin has to stop calling CT Chris. It infuriates me and I don't know why.
I 100% agree. It's like, Devin, you have not earned that right. Okay. You have not reached Chris level status. I think there are very few people in this world who have earned Chris level status, and Devin is not up there. So watch it. He's CT.
I think there's like a world they all call him Chris, like behind closed doors, but like we're on television. This is live to camera, baby. Like, I don't want to see Chris being discussed unless it's his wife, his son, or Big T because he's called her Tula.
Right. 100% agree. That he is CT or Uncle Zyde. I guess I'd rather Chris than Uncle CT, but he's CT.
Oh my God. Wait, this is a hot take. You don't like Uncle CT?
No, it's horrible. It grinds my gears every time she says it. I guess I haven't made that, but I don't like that at all. I find it a little creepy. I don't know, it's not my thing. It's Uncle C. I don't know.
But did you find Daddy Nick on the Circle creepy?
Oh, very, very. I like Nick, but the Daddy Nick was also very creepy.
You just don't like to have fun. Okay, that's fine. So
have you met me before? Of course not.
All right, Uncle Brian. So they have to go through. This was sort of unclear to me on the rules, and then I understood. This is the same thing that was sort of unclear to me on Challenge All-Stars, which I can't wait to discuss on our other podcast. But it seems like, did every person on the team have to dive down? Like, how was that supposed to be regulated?
Yes, I thought it was going to be like half and half, where like half the people go swim for the clues, half the people unravel the cage. Yeah, I was with you. I was a little confused. And then they all went down there and then someone said, I think we all have to dive down once. And I guess they were worried they were going to be penalized or something like that, because I don't think that was super clear. This was like a daily just, I mean, there was a lot of dailies just mixed up in this final, which is okay. But like, that's kind of just what this was.
So I think everybody had to like go down to one of the tiles. But if somebody's going to memorize all four, which Kyle later says he did, they're not going to be like, oh, Kyle knew one of them and Tori didn't know and they're on different teams, but whatever. But the big headline for me in this checkpoint is that Nelson, who is, I guess, known to everyone as someone who does not swim without a life jacket, is unable to wear a life jacket and sort of has a panic attack in the water. And then seemingly the orange cell is allowed to just go on without him. So what did you make of the Nelson of it all? And don't at me anyone that I said that, but the Nelson of it all on the challenge and the first checkpoint.
So I guess the reason he couldn't wear the life jacket was because he has to swim down, right? And like, you can't obviously, I guess, do that with a life jacket. So I guess that's the reason he couldn't wear it. And then there was no real penalty, seemingly, other than just the time it took to do it, which I guess I'm okay with, like, because it hurts the team overall that Nelson's going slower and everyone else has to pick up the slack. So I was okay that, like, he wasn't really involved and it just kind of cost them general time, not like an established punishment. So I was kind of okay with how it went down.
So I think it's crazy that he wasn't allowed to wear the life jacket. If that's sort of like his situation, for them to just like throw him into the final where he's not allowed like the accommodation of the life jacket that he needs to like survive. We saw it again. I keep referencing All Stars 2, but like, you can take your life jacket off, dive down, that will float and put it back on. You know, you're not, once you're in a life jacket, you're not like bound to that forever while you're in the water. So right. I just really didn't like that they take a person who, I mean, Nelson can swim. We see him swimming. But like, if his situation is that it's known that he doesn't want to swim without a life jacket, I just thought it was very strange that they're not letting him have it. In that case, everybody should have had the option of a life jacket. I just don't, it didn't add to me to watch him fail here for that reason. Reasonable minds will differ. It's just how I felt in the moment. But I also don't think if that's the rule, I'm glad it didn't sabotage their team, but I don't even see how it hurt their team because they were all able to be diving down while he was swimming out, right? Like, they didn't have to wait to him to get disqualified.
Yeah, I don't think so. I guess maybe they just had to wait for him to like come back ashore or, I don't know, get checked out or something. Or maybe they held him back a little bit long just as like a unofficial punishment or something. I don't know. I think it had to have cost them time overall. What was going down? I don't think it was a net neutral or a net positive.
I don't know. They pass purple in the next part of it. And yeah, part of it is because Devin is slowing them down, but yeah. I thought it was pretty unclear and also just like very avoidable, right? Like, there are people who are like deathly afraid of heights and they'll stand on the platform, and that's a little bit different to me. Like, if somebody can't swim and then you're going to be like, all right, swim unaccompanied, it just seemed like an avoidable situation for Nelson.
Yep. Agreed. Just let him wear the life jacket.
And then it became, it didn't matter because Kyle, then it also sort of seems unfair to Purple that like not everybody on the team, what would have been the limit? Like if somebody just like couldn't get all the way down, would they have just been like, okay, let somebody else on your team do it? Like it just, again, a lot of unclear scenarios there.
Yeah. And then for me, one of the more stunning moments of the entire final was the fact that Nelson's team overtook. I don't even know what was that. Was Nelson purple, right? They were was the purple team and CT was the orange team.
No, they were orange. Was the opposite. Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that orange overtook purple at any point was, I was stunned. I was like, oh my, is this actually happening? The way Devin was struggling and Nelson was like seemingly leading the team ahead of them. I was very, very surprised.
Agreed. And I do think part of it is like there really wasn't that much of a holdup on the last checkpoint as much as maybe they made it seem on the show. But yeah, like I do think my big takeaway from this finale, whatever, is that Devin better get humbled and he better get humbled quick, because I do think Devin is pretty good at acknowledging his own shortcomings, but this was a piss poor physical showing for Devin for the final. So that Devin is the one saying he doesn't want to run with Amanda. He doesn't want to run with Big T. I think his performance in this final puts him right in that camp.
It does. But I do think he did enough puzzle wise. And then like he super redeemed himself with that, like the last checkpoint, which didn't matter. But him remembering those like last 20 numbers, I think got him a lot of like, wow, look at Devin go. So I think he did enough to show his worth where his worth needs to be shown to overcome it a little bit. I do agree. I think it was worse than what he needed to show to be worth carrying as a puzzle guy to the end.
So I think what takes away from that is that he was on the team with CT, and CT is the one who does the puzzle when they're together, right? The torpedo puzzle. Devin doesn't assist with that. And I think that he can memorize those 20 numbers is incredible. I think that the way that he can ask Emmy, like, what are your numbers? What are your numbers? Hear her say the numbers and still memorize that is amazing. And he knew he didn't need it. It doesn't matter. It's just not a skill set that matters. Like, somebody asked us a question, and I'll give them credit later. Like, if it were individual, would Devin have won because it was 20 numbers? They would never ask individuals to remember 20 numbers. It just, like, you know what I'm saying? So like to me, that he showed he has that memory is not valuable enough to make up for the fact that he just can't keep up in a sprint.
Yeah. I mean, I think in theory, definitely, I think it just got enough of a reaction of like, oh my God, Devin remembered all those numbers. Like, that's incredible. So I think it put enough of a seed in like, oh, Devin actually is as smart as he boasts himself to be. But I do agree. I think his physical showing took enough away from that it was overall a net negative for him, like moving forward.
I wanted to address this last week, but it was 7 a.m. and I forgot. But were you surprised at all? And I don't remember if you talked about it, but I don't think you did, that CT opted to go with Devin in the purple cell.
Yeah, I don't think I talked about it in my Madman rant. So I guess the argument is, do you double down on the puzzle component and just go with Devin and leave the other team completely screwed, or like you're obviously a much better version of Devin, so do you take more physical side is the argument. I think you want to weaken the other side so much that they have no, because like you can still carry it physically as probably the strongest guy, and if you also take away their smarts, I think it's the right move to do that.
It's tough because it ends up results oriented. It ends up working out because the other side is so terrible at that puzzle. But like if one person on that team had an ability to do that puzzle, Purple loses because of Devin. So it's like, yeah, it's and it's also maybe he thought like, okay, like who are the women? The women are connected. The better women are connected to Devin. Mm-hmm. So if we're sitting across from each other on the platform, like, and then Tori shows up, you know, it ends up working out for CT. But it was surprising to me at the time. And I didn't even think Devin was going to do as bad as he did. And I want to put in an asterisk. I would do way worse than Devin. I understand.
Oh, of course. But, any physical criticism has that giant asterisk surrounding it.
And I do wonder how this performance, to your point, like maybe it's going to be masked, or maybe it is that Devin has already led with this. And like, maybe you want me in the final because you're going to beat me in the final. And what are the odds that you're going to run with me as a man, two men in the final, you know? So like, maybe he will be able to spin move his way out of this. I just thought this was a net very negative for him.
Do you think, should we give CT like an astronomically high amount of credit? And in his head, he's thinking, we're about to break out in two teams. Maybe these will disintegrate and I have to face my male counterpart and I want to go up against Devin as opposed to Nelson or Kyle.
No.
Okay. I agree. But
I think it was too quick. And it's also like, you're just as likely to have to do that as you are to have like he's your partner to go up against Nelson and Kyle, you know, like who knows? Mm-hmm. Nope. Maybe not just as likely, but the challenge works in mysterious ways.
Yes.
All right. But yeah, and it's like, we'll talk about Nelson even more, but I just think Nelson, it becomes really the heart and soul on his team, and he wants it so bad. It's almost too bad it gets in his way, like when they're rolling the ball in the cage down. But to me, where's Nani? Nani's whole thing is, I'm experienced. I've run a million finals. Where is Nani saying, get on the side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm experienced running, but that doesn't make me Usain Bolt. Like, I can know how to do it, but I can't do it well. So Nani's been in finals. She's done these things before, but she doesn't do them well. So I don't know what that really offers.
You're experienced at running?
In my life, I've run before.
I don't know. I think, like, part of the value we talk about, and I totally take your point, and it's just not there with Nani, but it's like, that's what Nani needs to be bringing, right? Like, she's run with Leroy. She's run with the best of the best here, and she's got to be bringing institutional knowledge to the table, at the very least.
Yeah, her institutional knowledge was copying off the puzzle next to her and not finishing the puzzle next to her. So.
That was a classic. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, yeah. It was so hard. So at this point, like, Michelle Marshy asked us, who are we rooting for at each checkpoint? I was rooting so hard for the orange team here. And then when they met this puzzle, I was like, oh, no.
I know. I really was rooting so hard for Nelson because, like you said, he just wants it so bad. And that's why I know Nelson has a lot of things that I wish he didn't say, both on like an insensitive side and also just like cringeworthy side. But like, he just always has a special place in my heart because he respects this show so much and loves this show so much and wants to win so bad that I just love that about him. And I will always find myself rooting for him. And the way he's just so enthusiastic with like pushing the ball and then with the puzzle and just shouting out like ideas, but just because he just wants to help, because he just wants to win. It's just, I just love it. And then when he loses the elimination, it was one of the more heart-wrenching things I've seen.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be tough. But so when you said people are saying this was too easy, is part of it like the overnight portion when they're like in a cave? So.
Yeah, I think the overnight has been a lot harder in the past, and even like some of the running like didn't seem to be as challenging. Also, like the weather they were in was more normal. Again, these are all things I prefer. I just think the narrative is just as it wasn't like the hardest of finals.
So, like, I don't know. I think sleeping in a cave and eating, like, canned beans is, like, probably, honestly, my sweet spot. I don't need them in a subway station, like, standing in a little box. I don't need... I mean, sometimes I like the, like, taking... switching on and off. I don't really care about, like, dunking your face in water and then switch it. Like, I think some of the ways they've made the night portion grueling are just... very little payoff. And so here, like, getting some rest on like some inflatable pillows in a cave is good enough. And let's skip to borrow from TikTok, can we skip to the good part?
Yes. So what did you think? Did you think there was any chance the orange team was just going to be wiped out, or did you have a a good sense that this is where this is going with them battling against each other.
So last week I was like, maybe they'll be wiped out or maybe they'll just lose. And then you were the one who said like, maybe they'll be going against each other. So it was really in my mind from you when I was watching it. Once they put them to the night phase and they had Casey and Nani like so excited, like you could, there was a little face of relief when they were like, we'll see you tomorrow. And they're like, tomorrow's a new day. I was like, oh, this is, they're not getting wiped out. And so like, there's only one option.
Yeah. So they have to go against each other. They play an elimination they've already done before called Back Me Up, where they're strapped back to back and have to pull their opponent over to their side and pull them down. 2 out of 3, which I honestly thought was kind of a lot to do, 2 out of 3, considering they just did like a full day version of a final and they're about to go to a more of a final. I was actually very surprised they would have them do 2 out of 3.
Well, here's something that surprised me, and it's part of what you just said, which is you have to pull them to the other side. The challenge is actually you have to push them to the other side. But Mike Christian says, I thought this was confusing the first time they did it, and I think this elimination played even worse one-on-one. Isn't the point that you should be pushing backwards against your opponent? Kyle being able to turn around and pull Nelson off that way, and Nelson flipping around to basically wrestle Kyle, both seems like they aren't how this elimination was meant to be played. And I thought the same thing as Mike, that like, can you win this challenge if you weigh less than the other person? Like, I don't think there's any way to scrap your way out of this.
Oh, so I don't think I even realized that's what you had to do back. Like, you, so they were supposed to stay back to back the whole time.
Well, I don't think they broke rules, but the way it's like positioned is like you're back to back and you have to get to the person. You have to get them to the side opposite you. So like you're in a position to, it's not like Banana's backpack where you could just march forward with the person on your back. That's why Kyle turns and then crawls past Nelson on his front.
Yeah, I totally missed that. I thought they were literally pulling them forward. So yeah, that is played poorly, very poorly, because I didn't fully understand the rules.
Well, it's how Kyle can win, right? It's the bigger person is advantaged by pulling. The other person has like some ability to push, like stronger leg muscles, or like resist or hold. So like, I didn't like this when it was like the first elimination. This is like Corey and Michelle did against Michaela and I don't know who was Michaela's partner. But
was it I think it was Corey Lee. No,
no, maybe? That was Michelle's partner. I thought it was it Tommy? I don't like this because I think for a final, like, there's just to me no way that you can beat this if you're like that. Nelson could beat Kyle in this.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the sentiment that they kind of said to each other after. Kyle was like, "Look, I won because I was bigger. Like that's the reason why I won." So yeah, that seemed to be what they agree with that too.
So, but Nelson puts up a great fight. Pete Dakota says, with them showing TJ giving Nelson a full pep talk on the side after his elimination loss, what does that say about Nelson? Do you know anyone that loves anything more than Nelson loves the challenge?
Yeah, well, I think it just more says about TJ that he also just respects people that love this show and give their heart and just why it's so bad. And, you know, TJ was just being a good person there. Give him a little pep talk. He could tell how down Nelson was. He was like, you'll get over this. Just give it time.
Yeah, this was really hard. I really, really love Nelson here. I think Nelson, while we joke that Nelson, or you said like you've always rooted for Nelson, like we haven't always rooted for Nelson here on the podcast. Nelson has really won us over. Nelson has evolved. He is like, you know, you can't help but root for him. Your heart goes out to him here. An obvious comparison, I think, could be drawn with Leroy and Nelson. And it's what I was thinking about when he was saying, like, I hope I have the courage to come back and do it again. Caitlin Glancy says, do you think Nelson has Leroy upside and will never win a championship despite being a great competitor and good at eliminations and wanting it so bad? Weird way to say that that's upside. So more like Leroy downside.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a Leroy downside. Yeah, I mean, that is a very good comp. I mean, I think the only problem I think over their history is Leroy's just been much more like he hasn't had like some of the Nelson baggage that he's had. Like Leroy, I can't recall a single moment in Leroy's career where there's been anything like, oh, he shouldn't have said that or done that or whatever. But in terms of just like as a competitor and like their desire, it is a very fair comparison.
I think Nelson, look, I would have never said Leroy could never win the challenge. If Leroy came back, like, I still don't think he could never win the challenge. But I believe that Nelson has a championship in him. And I think he really maybe impressed me the most in his physical performance. I was worried last week that he was going to gas himself out being up in front. But every single time it was physical, he was up in front leading the pack mm-hmm. and looked like he could have given more and more and more. Nelson's unbelievable weakness are puzzles, but if Nelson were in a position where Devin, like the cards flopped the right way and Devin was on their team or CT was on his team and somebody else was doing the puzzles and then he gets paired with, you know, like there's a world where I think Nelson has the raw materials to win. I can't really pinpoint why Nelson mm-hmm. Leroy never won. I don't think it's Leroy's fault, but I think in the right set of circumstances, Leroy can win. Does Leroy have all the skill set needed to be an individual champion? I don't think so. But luckily, it's mostly not the game.
Yeah, I think the like for Nelson, like the reason why he's never won, and you can say kind of the same thing for Leroy, is just because they just don't take the shot at the person they need to take the shot at. Like, for Nelson to win, CT just can't be part of a final. The same thing with like Leroy with the bananas. He just can't be part of a final because they're just better at the things that they drastically fail at so much. So like for Nelson, if they take out CT mid-season and you replace him like with Emmanuel in this final, there's a scenario where Nelson's team could easily have won this whole thing and he could have won. It just he just can't be in a scenario where he needs to beat CT in a final because it's not just for him, it's for anyone. It's just not going to happen. So if you take out the people that are drastically better than you, I know it's obvious, but you would think it would be obvious, then that's how he can win.
I don't know, though, because yes, I agree. But also, Kyle and Tori lost this by seconds, right? I mean, I haven't like checked the tape of like people being like, actually, it was 3 hours and they, you know, through the magic of television. But if we assume that they lost this by seconds and it was Kyle, you know, to me, there's no reason that Nelson couldn't have been in that spot if he had beaten Kyle in this elimination.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, he could have been.
So that's what's so interesting about this final is like, it was not a blowout. Like CT is not unbeatable. Specific situation.
And honestly, it kind of seemed like in that last part, it seemed like Tori, based off how they were talking, was the one that like screwed up her portion of the numbers, where it seemed like if she got her portion right, then Kyle is getting his win. CT is definitely vulnerable, but like to make Nelson and Kyle and Tori and anyone else who's never won that wants to win is road a lot easier is you take him out so you're not battling against him.
Let's talk about the women here, Casey versus Nani. This is going to make me sound terrible. This went on for way too long.
Oh, okay. I was into it. It had me captivated. The fact that I think Kyle pointed out, I don't think there's really been a comp to this ever. The closest would be like friends going against each other, but like obviously that's not like the same thing. So I don't think we've ever had a couple have to go against each other. And I was feeling it. I was feeling the feels. It was sweet that like Casey kind of seemingly gave Nani around just to be like, come on, like I know you kind of can't give it your all, but like give it your all. Their emotion afterward. I bought it.
When I say it went on too long, I didn't mean it should have never aired, right? Like I thought Nani saying like she's never been comfortable with her sexuality. Like Nani hasn't really addressed this, right? So she's like, I never held hands with a girl in public before, like sort of suggesting that it's not just like, oh, I fell in love with Casey, a person's a person. Like she's sort of had these feelings for other girls maybe in the past and she hasn't felt comfortable in herself or her sexuality. I mm-hmm. thought that was beautiful. I think their relationship is great. If Casey does the same bullshit she does to her, like, you don't break Nani's heart or we're all coming for you, Casey. Just FYI. Yeah. But no, I thought they have tremendous love and respect for each other. It sort of caps off this season. They've played completely together. It was beautiful to watch. Did I need to watch Nani and Casey go 3 rounds? No, because Nani was never beating Casey. Like, I thought it was really sweet when she was like, are you sure you don't want to win this one? Which, again, is not Casey throwing it. Like, if you want to throw it, just throw it to her. You don't ask her. She's obviously going to say no. But right. That's what I really respected about it, is that Nani didn't just say, I'm not competing against her or roll over. And Casey didn't just give it to her either. Like, while I don't think either of them gave it 100%, it's respectable competition. They honored like the game they're playing. They still supported each other after. I just thought it was like a little stupid to let Nani win around.
It was a side thing that was like very funny. I think Tori said while it was about that, but like, oh, I'm going to start to cry. And I think it was Kyle that was like, conserve your energy. Don't cry. That was very funny.
But all right. So now we're going to go to pairs. And this is our most asked question. I pulled it from Kyle Picard, but like five people asked us this question. Casey and Kyle are going to be the decision makers here. Kyle says, is it fair that Casey was a part of the losing cell, but basically got dibs on CT just by winning the elimination that was handed to her? Oof. Kyle.
Look, it's definitely not fair, but the question, like the point we always make is like, what is fair on the challenge? Like nothing is fair. Like this show is pure chaos that like, this is just expected. Like, again, I wish they laid it out. It'd be like, if you finish last, you're going into elimination against each other, but you also get to pick your partner. Like, I don't know, just give them the full information or something, but that's never going to happen. So is it fair? No, but it's not that crazy for the challenge to do this.
So that's where I agree with you. If they could somehow have complete information and make a risk and reward analysis, it's completely fair. That said, I still think like the odds that somebody would give up in the final safety, roll the dice on an elimination to pick their own partner is insane. It's possible. Like people have done it for Fire Making and Survivor, but it feels very unlikely that somebody would do that. But I do think it's like, all right, the winning team is rewarded with safety. That's number one priority. The fact that Kyle, if you take out Nani and Casey as like girlfriends, Kyle had to go against Nelson. There's a very good chance that Kyle loses to Nelson. That's a huge effing risk, and his whole game is taken away. It is, to me, consistent with the spirit of the game to have the people who survive elimination then get to upset the apple cart. Like, that is very... That's what the show has been doing all along. It's consistent with the theme. So to me, it's like an appropriate reward for winning an elimination, a sudden death elimination in the final. And safety from having to compete in the elimination is an appropriate reward for winning the first leg of the final.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think opinion is skewed by ACT being an option to pick and then be that they happen to go on to win. Like if Kyle and Tori happen to win, like maybe people aren't as up in arms about it, but because CT was that just this big prize just sitting there, then like it just throws it all off. But if, like, if CT team have lost, then it's, you know, CT and I don't know, Tori picking their partner, it's not as big of a deal necessarily as who gets to pick who.
And presumably, look, the two best people are supposed to come out of that elimination from the losing team. So it's not like a deficit for the two best people on the winning team. Cause like, if you think that you're going to get picked as the best person by the best person on the other team, it didn't bother me. I thought it was consistent with the overall season arc. And what would have been better if they like did it as a hat, or if they were like, CT and Emmy are the top performers from like the metrics we've been counting in the background of that. So you guys get to pick. Forget it. I'd rather just go with like the flow of the season.
Do you have any sense of like what you think they would have done?
I don't have any sense.
They stayed together. Yeah.
What were you saying? That was just general.
If Casey and Kyle decided to stay together, like how they would have split up the other four of them.
I mean, my gut says they would have said, you guys decide amongst yourselves right now. And then Emmy would have grabbed CT or something. You know, like then it would have been like a you guys divide up amongst yourselves. Unless they were going to say the top two. Or maybe it's like who arrived first at the original checkpoint to pick your cell. And then it would have been Tori. And was Devin out of that first?
I think Devin was first, yeah.
Yeah, because I think CT chose. So maybe that would have been it.
Yeah.
Either way, who cares? What do you think about them going to pairs and saying this is now going to be pairs?
Yeah, I would have rather them just done it individually, honestly. Like, I don't think it added anything. They could have just made the final checkpoint 10 digits or even just 20, make them remember it. I don't know. I was very surprised to see it go to pairs because it just, I didn't see that coming at all. I really thought it was going to end with the individual. So I was surprised, and I don't think it was necessary. I would have preferred it not to happen.
I agree. I think it's like maybe they wanted to mirror the way they started. They started as pairs, allies, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but I think it's a 10-digit code, and we're in the money. Well, because that's like a thing. Like, that's why phone numbers are 10 digits. It's like the human. Where did I just hear this? I just heard this somewhere. But like, that's like a thing. That's like the maximum number. Maybe I heard this on Rent and Link. That's like the number of digits like a human brain can remember.
Isn't that how Fishback did that one challenge in Token Sheens? He just put it all into like a 10-digit.
That's where I hear it. I heard it from Steven Fishback. That's right. That's where I heard it. So. Yeah. Assuming he's correct, that former mime, for anyone deep into Steven Fishback Twitter. So I just don't think the 20 numbers, unless you, then I think it could have been a shorter course. I think that's one thing with the final checkpoint is like, somebody who has to run back to the top, their game is over. So either make it closer, so like you want people to be running back and forth if they get it wrong, or make it 10 numbers and have it individual, and then they can remember that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too. I agree.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
What do you think of this twist? The winners decide the second and third place money.
Yeah, another one I did not see coming. My gut when it happened was like, oh, this is cool. This is very interesting. I hope they don't keep this. I like it as like a one-off. Because this season has been so chaotic, so why not just make the money chaotic? Because even going into like last week, I was like, I don't think they've said anything about how the money's being divvied up. So in my head, I was like, is there only one winner maybe? Is that how this is going down? Because I couldn't remember them saying at all like how much first or second or third get. So I don't mind this as like a one-off. I don't want this to be a thing, though.
Hated it. Hated it. Okay. Didn't work. Don't do it. Throw it in the trash. Send it away from Samoa. Like, I mean, that was a generous interpretation of it, like a reaction to it. I think I agree. At the start of this episode, he said your share of $1 million. And I was like, oh, your share. What's that going to be about? Did not imagine this. We'll talk about the way the money breaks down. We have questions about how to break down the money. Just got reaction. Hated it. It shouldn't be. It's one thing if it's a friend or foe within your own team. It makes no sense to have first place just give away their money. I just don't understand that as a concept. That wasn't part of the game. Like, maybe that's a stretch to be like, you got here in cells, you got here as allies, like, are you a spy, are you an ally, are you lying? Like, I just didn't think it any reality show should ever do this.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, all right, Aaron, I won't say, but okay, you're the winner of Survivor. Do you want the million, or do you want to give some to second and third? What do you want to do?
And in fact, there's very good reason that there are rules on those shows that you can't agree to share the money. You can't say, if you vote for me, I'll give you an extra $10,000 off the prize. Like, yeah, I don't want that to become in-game currency.
That's a great point, because what if at that last puzzle, CT's just like, guys, screw it. Let's just each take $250. Let's just, like, or something like that. Like, they could have easily have done that. Like, what would MTV have done?
I mean, I imagine there was a rule that was like, you can't collude to share the prize money in like during the chat until the end kind of thing. But I don't know how that in the future would get stopped.
Yeah. So
if you help me now, I'll remember that. I'll remember that later. If there's ever something I can do down the road.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I think this has to be a one and done thing. This cannot be an established thing going forward.
Michelle Marchier said this before, said which teams and individuals were you rooting for? So at this segment, when it goes to teams and it's Emmy and Devin and Tori and Kyle and CT and Casey, who's got your rooting interest here?
I wasn't strongly rooting for Kyle and Tori, but I thought that would have been the more interesting scenario. But I was rooting, I think, probably more for CT. I do like CT a lot. I thought it kind of just says an F you to like this entire cast for keeping him here. I wanted to see him just like stick it up their butts and win. So,
whoa, I think the phrase is stick it to them, but okay.
Is that everything?
No, I agree. I kept writing in my notes, like, this is what Kyle gets. He said he more than anyone kept saying, I want to run with CT because CT wins. I want to go to the final with CT. And then you lost to CT because that's what you wanted the whole time. But I was rooting so hard for Tori and Kyle. So, like, not commensurate in any way with how much I like them as individuals. I was just like, wow, this would really be something. And if anything, I was still happy. It was just competitive. So what a relief from last season.
Yeah. The fact that it was very close, I was a nail biter to the very end. But I also thought it was kind of, even when CT and Casey pulled, they got the code, they've done fireworks for basically you finishing a third in like a daily in like week four. It was very anticlimactic to see them win and just grab the stone and like there was no explosion or something to signify that they won. Did they run out of explosions?
I mean, they had them in the elimination when you just like won one round of three.
Right. So it's like, okay, you win the freaking show and all you get is a $1 million diamond or stone, whatever the hell they called it. Like where was the explosion?
Look, I can't, you're right, but like after all I do is talk about how we need fewer explosions, I can't, like, beggars can't be choosers for when there's fewer.
Is the no explosion the real explosion? Is that what they're saying?
Exactly. You wanted to be surprised.
Yeah, I guess so.
One thing that did surprise me is like I have in my notes like, oh, are we okay that this was just an all-out sprint or did you want there to be a checkpoint? Maybe I missed it. Like I was with them where I thought the flag was going to be the end. And then when there was this like surprise checkpoint again, unless they said it, I'm sorry. But I was like, ooh, this got interesting that we get another checkpoint on the sly.
Yeah, I didn't pick that up either. I don't think at the time.
Well, Josh says before discussing the finish and who won. Sorry, Josh, we already did it. Talk about how many trips do you thought the winning team was going to have to do? One trip up and down the mountain, two, three. So when you saw this 20-digit code, what was your expectation that we were going to keep going on, or you were like, someone's going to just knock this out?
Yeah, I thought someone would knock it out because I think remembering numbers is, like you said, the easiest thing. This wasn't remembering like symbols and stuff like that. Remembering 10 numbers, I know you're exhausted, but like there is simpler ways, that either just remembering 10 straight, or I thought the move would be like, I think, I don't remember who said it, but like remember it in like thousands, basically just remember like 2312 like as a number. So I thought someone would be able to get it, honestly.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised when they get to the end and they punch it in and it's wrong and both teams are struggling and like they're not running back. Like, so that was something I didn't expect. I thought either you'd show up and you'd put it in right, or you'd have to go and you'd have to give up basically and run back, because once you're running back, you're done.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that both teams took like multiple attempts to get it in and then were fine. Oh, that's what she said. But they were fine like getting it done, you know. It was like they just like misdialed like on the phone,
I guess. Yeah. Maybe they shouldn't have been allowed. Like a lot of the time it's like you get one guess and you have to go back and check. Maybe that you should have done that.
That's brutes magoots.
Like you said, for something too far, then it kind of like takes away from it. So I don't know.
We sort of talked about this already, but Patrick M said, I don't think I enjoyed the end. Okay, the pairs felt kind of anticlimactic. Was this a mistake? Should they have made the team of two, I guess in this case it would have been Kyle and Casey, compete against the team of four? I argue it probably would have been a tight race.
Honestly, even that wouldn't have surprised me. I was prepared for a 4-2 final anyway, so they could have done that. No problem.
It's interesting. I think we'd be here complaining about it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, anything they would have decided there, we would have been complaining, because like there was no clean way to do it. Like the cleanest way would be just to keep the teams, and that's like the cleanest way, and once they drop that, then it's chaos.
It's definitely a disadvantage to have four people running, but it's a gross advantage to have four people memorizing 20 numbers. So but it would, I agree with Patrick that it would have been tight, because Devin would have been slower on the run, but then would have been like, I got all these numbers, let's go.
Right. Yeah, it couldn't have hurt.
I really loved this moment between Tori and Kyle. Tori is very hard on herself, and I'm sure things I've said on this podcast you know, not directly for me, but just generally discussion around her hasn't helped. But she's so hard on herself. And, you know, she's going to Kyle like, I'm sorry, like she let him down. And I just love very pre-dad Kyle, like, you didn't let me down at all. You know, like, I love that moment between them. I thought the reactions of the final six were just really, really good vibes all around. And it was nice to watch.
Yeah, it was great vibes. Even when Devin showed up, he was like, oh, who won? It was like, hey, who just won $1 million at this game we've been playing for like 4 months?
CT's little sly smile. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It was very good vibes. There wasn't a lot of hatred amongst any of these people, which is nice to see. It was all very positive.
Alex is the person who asked us, would Devin have won if it was individual? We talked about it. Becca says, do you think that CT would have won no matter which partner he had? Not taking anything away from the women, they are beasts. I find it hard to believe that he loses in any scenario in this final.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can think of was, like I said, it does seem like Tori messed up her part of the numbers. So if theoretically, if he was paired with Tori, I guess he loses that because Tori would have messed up her section of the numbers. So Kyle and Casey would win.
Yeah, I think this really showed that it's not just like a knockdown drag out. Emmy, we didn't really. Emmy, shout out to Emmy. They said rookie finishing a final. Incredible. She definitely performed better than Devin. I think when you have somebody who's unable to be doing the sprints, it's hard to kind of see what her stamina would be. But she definitely didn't gas out like Devin did. So sort of the jury's still out on what Emmy's tip-top performance would have been if she were with CT. But yeah, I think even in the current configuration, there's a world that Kyle and Tori could have won. Just like Tori remembers one more number, you know? Like it was not as decisive as I would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, and yeah, good point on Emmy. She did very, very well. There was nothing to signify that she couldn't win a final in any configuration that she was set up with. So the stock is up. Just stop saying uncle for people.
Don't listen to Brian. So Kyle and Casey, CT and Casey, with very little on-screen deliberation, decide to keep 800,000, so 400,000 each. And give 50,000 a person. At first, when they said 100,000 each, I thought they meant each person. Right. They break them off 50,000 each. My immediate thought, because I'm a bad person, was what is the least amount of money as the winners that you can break off here and not be millionaire Mitchell status ridiculed the rest of the game?
I think they could have easily have kept 900 for themselves and divvied up 100 outward to everyone else. But I was kind of surprised and a little disappointed. Like, I feel like you got to give second place more. Like, I know I don't know, to make it fair, you give everyone equal. But if you're giving that 200K, don't you got to give 120 to second and 80 to third? Like, I don't know, give a little boost for the team that almost beat you.
Yeah, I'm cheap as hell. I was like, can you get away with 10,000 each? Because I think it's just bullshit. I just think it's bullshit for them to be deciding that. When especially in the last few challenges, it's been zero goose egg, nada, go home, see you, have a nice day for the third place team.
Do you think all three teams, is there a team amongst these three that keep it to themselves?
No, especially the way this was played with the veterans. I just think part of the camaraderie we saw at the end, like, nobody's not giving them money. Even like the way Ashley's treated when she has every right to take that money from Hunter or to keep the money for herself, not even take it from him. It wasn't his money. It's just like longevity wise, not worth it. And just karma wise, honestly, not worth it. Patrick M says, very nice of CT and Casey to share 50K each, but do you think this was actually assurance that they come back next season? They have people they can work with. If they come back, they have people they can work with.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a hell of a down payment for, you know, friendship for both CT and Casey. I mean, also, not to mention the stuff that Ashley faced, I'm sure CT looked at the vitriol that Bananas faced and was like, you know what, I don't want to go down that route. I think they have pretty good established friendships with Devin, Kyle, Tori, and Evie going forward.
See, I think this doesn't matter. Like, I actually think Tori's like, I'll never forget it. I'll read her Instagram. But like, ultimately, And this is why I think just the whole setup is bullshit anyway. Like, it shouldn't matter. You shouldn't, like, be able to buy these votes later. If Tory wants to make a move against CT, she shouldn't feel indebted to him because he gave her a second place prize that should have been awarded by MTV. Like, I just, maybe it'll be interesting down the road and I'll eat my words. Just like as my initial reaction is frustrated that this could potentially play a role in the future. I never responded to you. I totally agree that second place should get more. It's like crazy that they just gave $50,000 apiece, which speaks to Patrick's point that this was clearly just to buy favor with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is, I'm sorry, I didn't pull your name from the question thread, so I'm so, so sorry. But would the move, if you're a fringe player like Emmy, who isn't guaranteed an ass back, should you take all the money and rock the boat and make good TV? So to your point, was there anyone who would have? Is there anyone who should have?
I mean, if I guess theoretically, if like CT or Casey was, I would never come back. Sure, you could take the money. But I guess, again, it's like karma purposes. You might not want to. So I don't think there was anyone like that really hated each other, like going into this. Like, if there's two people that really hated each other, maybe you don't give someone that money. But since they're all like either very good friends or decent friends or on good terms, like it didn't seem likely it was going to happen amongst these six.
It's very old Devin vibes, right? Like, I think Devin's like first shot out of the gate was very like villain, like junior villain. And I think he's done a lot over the last season, really in the off season, to like get away from that and be the spearhead of like all the vets working together and like work with Josh and like make amends with his old foes. Tori even is an example of that. So like, I feel like vintage Devin is like, I'm evil and I'm going to take your money and you underestimate me. But I don't think anybody's doing that here. And I don't think Emmy or anyone in the final is at risk of not being able to come back and needs to like make a move
right
like this.
Yeah. And for Devin, I mean, his closest friends are in this final. Like, he's not going to do that to Kyle. He's not going to do that to Tori, and he's not going to do that to Chris. So, you know, he's not going to do that to any of them.
Oh, I'm upset. Uncle Chris is even worse. I have an Uncle Chris.
Oh, yikes.
So we got a lot of conversations about how everyone wants to come back. Kyle was going to take a break, but now how can he take a break? Your baby's still there, though. He's like, I was going to take a break for the baby, but now I'm going to come back.
Yeah, well, now he's showing. Like, I can make $50,000 out of this, so I don't even have to win. I can get $50,000, so it's worth it.
Devin says that he played a flawless season, and Emmy played a flawless season. How can anyone say it was a flawless season when you kept CT and then you lost to him?
Yeah.
Is this just what he thought his best case scenario was?
I do think this is, barring like CT winning, like for Devin's, like this is as good of a season as Devin probably will ever have. I mean, he was a big part of the Giant Alliance that dominated the game. He won the last elimination to get to the final. He won dailies. He was a big, like, I don't see how a season can go better for Devin. So for him, in his purposes, it was like as good of a game as he can do.
It's a good point, but I do think a huge part of it relies on Fessy getting sent home. So, you know, Fessy is someone who was like willing to break up the Vet Alliance, and as somebody who really, really would have been a huge threat to Devin's spot here in the final. So it's tough to be like, I played a flawless game when a lot of it was luck, like Nam also getting taken out. But a lot of this game is luck. I just don't think it's like with I think it's rough for Devin. It's probably good for Devin's characterization that he views this as a flawless game. And it's with very little flaws. He had, as you said, tremendous social control. But he doesn't appear to be humbled at his performance in the final, and he doesn't appear to think taking CT was a mistake. So, we'll see how this shakes out going forward. All right. Caitlin Glancy, did anybody else think Tori's 37 tattoo was a massive spoiler when she showed it on the after show? I'm so glad it wasn't.
Yeah, very glad it wasn't. Much better than getting, SLA or something like that tattooed for the name of the season. So if you're going to do it to a number, that's better.
Yeah, I mean, somebody wrote into us about it and I was like, oh, like if you think you're spoiled, please don't write into us about why you think you're spoiled. I didn't realize it was on the after show, so that makes more sense because we're supposed to be watching that. But when those things happen, honestly, when spoilers happen, I always convince, although I really haven't, knock on wood, been spoiled for the challenge, but it's like, if I see a spoiler, I just convince myself it's just as likely to be fake or not a spoiler. Or if anything, it's a spoiler that she didn't win, because why would it be she, like, they wouldn't let her have it visible if she won.
Right.
So yeah, go through the mental gymnastics. It's more, it's just as likely as someone in their basement is typing up a spoiler into whatever than it is to be a real spoiler. So I let it go. But it is interesting that she got it. Maybe we'll hear more about it on the reunion, but. It did seem to be really transformative for her.
It's where she met the love of her life, Emmanuel. So, just got that.
All right. Can't wait to see more on that. Sam, which cast members need to take a break or not come back at all? Us.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think maybe Nadia can take another break. I know Corey's taking a break. I don't want him to take a break. I think he should stay. I know people want Josh to take a break, but I'm honestly that I'd be fine with Josh staying amazingly. There's not a lot, because there weren't that many vets. It's just that they all just stayed the whole season, so it just seemed like there's that many more. So I'm just more excited to see which rookies come back and try to like start making a name for themselves.
I mean, for me, the answer is like CT. If CT is going to lean more into this, like, sort of negative, like, ego, like, cocky kind of side, that's like not, I don't think he was as fun this season. And if they're just going to let him keep waltzing to the end, it's like I'm kind mm-hmm. of over that. But I am optimistic that that won't be the case. And then, so I'm not calling for him to take a break, but I don't want to watch another. I don't want to start hearing about how, well, I've never done 3 wins in a row.
Right. See Trinity.
God. But I don't know, Casey.
Or C3P. C3P, that's much better. I'm an idiot.
C3PO. Okay. Sam said, that was bad. Sam said Casey. And I think that's interesting. I think the Casey and Nani story was quintessential and important to the season. What is Casey going to continue to bring? I don't know. The Fessy Josh dynamic, maybe that's important. Casey mm-hmm. had a lot of like weird issues with Amber that I didn't love. So I don't know what more is to come with Casey. It would be tough to bench her after a win, but they kind of did it to Amber. So mm-hmm. I don't know that I have 5 more seasons of Casey in a row in me.
It's amazing. Casey, 4 seasons of reality TV, 0 times being eliminated, wins twice, other 2 times made the final. She's like one of the great reality TV competitors ever.
She is, but I think she's leaving a little on the table entertainment-wise.
Oh, a little bit. I mean, that's an understatement.
I'm just saying.
for sure. But in terms of just like her performance, it's pretty incredible. No time is being eliminated.
Quick hits, just yes or no. You want them back, you don't want them back. I'll go through every contestant that was on the season.
Holy crap, we got another 2 hours?
CT.
Yes.
Yes, asterisk. Kyle.
Yes.
Yes, Devin.
Yes.
Yes, Nelson.
Definitely.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Nah.
I'm a soft yes, Logan.
Nah.
No, Josh.
Sure.
Yes. Corey.
Yeah.
Get vaccinated. Ed.
Yeah.
Ed is just a full yes for you.
Yeah. He was, oh, that was super fun.
I agree. Yes. You know, like we're yesing the entire cast just coming back, but yeah, I'd like to see him in the future. No,
there's plenty of no's. Just keep going. There's
Jeremiah, plenty of speaking no's. Of no's, Jeremiah.
Yeah, that's a no.
Huey.
No.
No. Fessy.
Yes.
Soft yes. Gabo.
Oh.
Corey Lynn.
Oh, wait. Gabo was popcorn muscles, right? I like popcorn muscles. Bring him back.
No, Gabo's a gob. No.
No, he's no.
Corey Lay.
I honestly wouldn't hate it, but probably not.
He's a yes for me, and he's working hard on Twitter to try to get it.
He is working very hard.
he's working overtime. He's getting a yes for me. Tommy.
No.
No, Kells.
Definitely.
Yes, with a bullet, 100%. My number one. Yeah. Yes. I'd give up every other man on the season for Kells to come back. Renan.
Who? There was not a Renan. That's a made up name.
Yeah. There was a Renan.
No.
Nom. Tough.
Honestly, no. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it just hasn't worked out. I'm sorry, Nam. Like, it just hasn't.
Tom's like, Tom, what? Nam is like that guy where it's like, this is the timing is off, and you like look back in 10 years and you're like, I went on like two dates with that guy and like nothing was wrong with him, but then I went on vacation, then he went on vacation. It's just like, it's just a no, it's not happening.
Yeah, I agree. Marries your podcast friend.
That was not what happened with that guy. Casey.
Honestly, yeah.
I've already spoken about it. I think yes, but it's a skeptical yes. Tori.
Yeah.
I think firm yes for me. Emmy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know. She's a little of an, yeah. Yeah.
She's a little what?
No, she's a little annoying, but yeah, I mean, she deserves to be back.
Annoying. I thought you were saying vanilla. Yeah. I was like, she's a lot of things.
No, she's definitely not. She's definitely not vanilla.
All right, Nani. I'm saying yes to Emmy, but I don't, you know, okay, but I'm saying yes to Emmy. Nani?
I hate saying no because, like, Nani's my girl, but I think we're about done.
Nani's your girl. No one is lower on Nani than you publicly for like 7 years.
It's like back and forth. Like we have a very
she doesn't
back
say
and forth.
Shit to you back and forth.
No, myself. I'm very back and forth in my head. Like I love her deeply in some ways, and like I make fun of her in other ways. But it's all in love. It's all meant in love.
The RHAP out of context is like feverishly typing. Like Nani's my girl. I hate to say it. Like what? I say no, Amanda.
Definitely.
Big yes for me. Big T.
No,
I'm sorry. Sorry to all the people who just left us to go to the Brian Scally and Matt LaGroix podcast, but no. Ashley, not never, but just like I'm not clamoring. Ashley.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Well, no, with the Josh shit, I forgot. She needs to like get some PR help and like make a real apology. Right. That what she's been doing is blasphemous. Bettina, no. Sorry, skip. Priscilla.
No. Yeah.
Yes. Amber Borzotra.
I can live her. I can live or die. Live her without. I don't know.
she don't know can take her leave.
Take her leave.
I mean, she also is someone who sort of works overtime on the show. Like to so yeah. I will give her a yes, but with the Casey asterisk of like, we got to get some new material going on.
Yeah.
Berna. Forgot about Berna.
No, I'm good.
And no love for Nelly T.
Yeah, no, I'm good with Berna. It's okay.
Esther, what about Esther?
Yeah. Bring back.
Love bring Esther. Back. Bring her back. Anissa, don't even answer that. I know what you're gonna say.
I have a very damning Anissa stat. Let me quickly pull it up. It's truly like it's really bad.
Oh, by the way, did you feel bad when Nelson is like a shell of himself about losing? Did you feel bad that you've been like putting this into the atmosphere about his horrific statistics?
Again, it's like the same type of thing. It's a very like, I love Nelson, but again, I get to make fun of, like, I have to make fun of him when he's lost 51 straight challenges. Like, I just, in my bones, I have to do that, but I could also, I think it would have been absolutely hysterical if he's lost 51 straight dailies and then goes on to win the season. I thought that would have been hysterical. Okay, so where does Anissa rank all-time money earners from the show?
Are you counting if, like, back in the day she, like, broke lamps and had to pay for them? So is it negative? I'm just kidding. I don't know. What is the answer?
101st. She has earned under $25,000 in 15 seasons. Like, that's rough. That's rough. 15 seasons?
I'm shocked it's that much.
15 seasons. $24,071. I don't know how she got $71, but
you know what? You know what? That appearance fee check cashes just the same, baby.
It sure does.
She's probably one of the best paid challenge competitors of all time. Not in that kind of money.
Got that podcast though. We know how lucrative that could be.
All right, let's finish this exercise. I mean, Anissa's got to get on one of them. Like, she's got to be on All Stars. She's got to be on my TV.
She should be on All Stars. 100%. That's where she should go. That's where she fits. She's no longer in the challenge proper.
I don't agree with that, but fair enough. Michelle Fitzgerald.
I mean, I like her, but I don't see where she fits in this world.
I think she's got to get one more shot in. She had the romance with Emmanuel. She was like the only person trying to like band the rookies together and lead a takedown. Mm-hmm. I think she gets one more sort of like Nam try.
Mm-hmm.
Tasha?
No, I'm okay.
She's been fun on Twitter, but I think it's a no. I don't know who Tracy is. Is that the one who sort of looked like Bettina? Yeah.
Okay, no.
So no. And then Lauren, that's a full no.
That's a definite yes.
And really? I thought she like did like some
I'm very much just kidding.
Okay, and then this is interesting. Michaela.
Yeah, I'll be fine with it. I think she'll I don't know.
It's tough. I would want her to get a mulligan, but it's like tough with like, honestly, how many people we said yes to with this new crop. Yeah. It's sort of like
she's far down on the list. It's tough. And think about other people from like last season or two seasons ago that have only played once. So,
and we're Survivor fans. So like, yeah, if you're a challenge watcher who's not a Survivor fan, I don't think you care if Michaela comes. You'd be like, why is Michaela back?
Yeah. You'd be like, who is that again?
Tough. All right. Well, that was maybe a worthwhile exercise.
How many, just out of curiosity, how many people did you just lift up? How many people were on the season? Is that counted?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 times two. 36 people.
That's absurd. It's crazy.
When I saw that the Survivor finale was only episode 13, and I downloaded Know It Alls today, I was like, what? Like, 13 episodes. We're in episode 18. Or, sorry, 19. This is episode 19, so we're going to go to 20 with the reunion. Do we know if it's a two-part reunion?
I think it might be because my DVR says Jesus. Challenge reunion one. Like, it doesn't say part one. It just says one. So, honestly, it could be, like, four.
And I'm trying to think, how many more All-Stars episodes do we have? This was episode 6. Are we going to go to 9 episodes?
What was it last year? Was it 10?
Oh, I thought it was, like, 8 or 9. Stats where you need them, you know?
I mean, they said they're close to the final. How crazy was that? Not to quickly jump to All Stars, but like, we just watched 20 episodes of this show. We're in episode 6 of All Stars, and we're getting close to the final. Like, whoa, that's a difference.
It looks like it's going to be 8 episodes because they're at least charting out that episode 8 drops December 30th. But that's what happened last time. It like advanced straight to the final. It was 10. So, okay. So maybe it's going to be 10 because
IMDb says 10.
Because that usually works out where we only have like an episode or two left of All Stars when we fully wrap up the reunion. So I would guess it's like two parts.
Yeah. IMDb shows. Yeah. Episode 10 on January 13th. So
right. Meanwhile, we're going on an hour and a half here. So let's, talk about the like 3-hour conversation we're going to have about the must lose draft here.
Yeah. So the point of contention.
I haven't been here in so long.
So according to our designated team, we won. We won the season.
Woo!
The points divvied out for this week. Here we go. For this week, you gained a point for Nelson and Nani for them losing their elimination rounds, bring you to a total of 6.5 points for the season. Scally lost.
As I said, those three people, while I had the most people going in, I had the best three people I could have going into that final. And I think it was
very true.
Proved true.
Scally had Tori. So she lost a point for finishing second and then lost a half point. She lost a half point for being selected as a partner. Matt lost 5 points for CT winning, and then also lost a half point for CT being selected as partner. And then myself, I lost a point for Kyle and Casey each winning those eliminations, Casey for winning overall, Kyle for finishing second. So individual scoring, I had 12.5, you had 6.5, combined we're at 19. Matt had 11, Scally at 7.5. They are at 18.5, so we win 19-18.5.
Which just shows all the work the DDs put into the scoring system really, really paid off because it was so close. Yeah. It came down to the final, which is what it should be. But should we address the controversy? Because we got some sore losers over at Dom and Collins podcast complaining about our diligent DDs efforts. And then Scally was like, well, we're going to accuse you of cheating if you accuse. I'm like, this is why we have people who dedicate their time to send us incredible charts and stats. Like we don't do it. We can't do it. We've shown we can't do it. We have proven ourselves incapable of making our own system and we deferred others.
Yes, and speaking of cheaters, I mean, one team had six people that was knocked out without elimination, and that wasn't us.
All right, so tell them the controversy. Tell the people.
Yeah, so the controversy is the selected as a partner thing. So through the season, we had the rule where if you were chosen to be like the partner, you would lose a half point. Normally, I'd be like an infiltration. Like if you were infiltrating someone's team, you steal their partner, you lose the half point. So here, technically, CT and Tori like weren't on a pair or a team, but they were selected as the partner. So the DDs applied that rule. They lost the half point for each of them, and that was the difference in the season.
So yeah. So Scally and Matt feel like that shouldn't have counted. And I take the point. I don't think they're making this point, but the world that I could get my head around that they're right is that we did decide that when you defect from a cell and pick a new cell, we're not awarding points for that. But to me, this is completely, especially the way TJ said it. TJ was like, do you want to stay together as a pair or infiltrate another pair? So he put it right back in the language of picking a partner. It was easily attributable to a person was getting picked, and it's the spirit of what we've been awarding points for, which is you lose a point if your person, or half point if your person, is deemed the best because they're not the biggest loser. So sorry losers, but no, Scally, like we sent their points, because what do I give a shit, honestly, this doesn't matter, but we sent their arguments, their pleas to the DDs. The DDs considered it and wrote that there was no disagreement among them. This was the final decision, and Scally and Matt allegedly have yielded. So we won. I don't think we had stakes because we didn't do our own stakes last time. Maybe this absolves us of the stakes.
Yeah,
I think
I was going to say this counted. This was a double or nothing. We made it double or nothing.
I don't think we did that. Did we actually do that?
We did it just now. So it's
not. Well, that's, I'm nothing but fair. I don't think that's fair, but we'll see what they say. But Stuart crunched additional numbers here, and this is pretty interesting. If I'm understanding this chart correctly, and you're the person who's in ambiguous finance, so hopefully you'll understand. I'm looking at a chart where they put together who was like the best value pick of just like who gave the most points to who gave the least points, or took the most negative points. It's confusing. And then who drafted whom. So Emmy was actually the best finalist pick, however, with giving me only negative 2 points when everybody else got three or more of the finalists. CT, a whopping negative 7 for Scally's team. But best pick overall, sadly, Big T, putting up 3.5 big points for Team Brian Cohen.
Yep, that makes sense. I was very proud of that pick.
Are you looking at this? Because it's like pretty interesting. Like Amanda, who I would have probably thought, and maybe because she ends up on a winning cell, but like I would have thought she gave more points, meaning she was a bigger loser. Even 0 points, just no impact to taking her for Matt.
Yeah. So if you do like a postmortem of like the scoring per person, I think the biggest plus is the fact that like the two winners and the two people that finished second, like they had a combined negative 20 points. And I think that's like there should be a huge negative for the people that win and finish second. So I think that's good. I think maybe where we're missing is more positives for the super bad losers. So like, is like an early suggestion, maybe losing the first couple eliminations should be more points. Just so, like, I feel like the people that lost early should be even more positively valued. But that's a discussion for next season. But I think it's in pretty good shape, the scoring. We'll have to see what the format is for next season for other tweaks. But it's pretty good.
I was going to say, I think where we have the sort of, like, the progression it works. And this is not results oriented because Max, I take no points away from Matt or Scally this season for having it. But I think the conversation I'd like to have next season is, like, if you're removed from the game for injury or for, like, what are the points around that? Maybe we are at the right place for that, but like Fessy to be giving someone 30 points for being ejected from the game for like violence. I mean, is that make you a bigger loser than losing in the first week? Maybe it does. I don't know. I think it's something to discuss.
Yeah, we'll go to the drawing board and discuss for sure.
But all right. So thank you to the DDs, Matt Stewart, Stewart, and Kate, for making this happen, for settling our disagreements, making it so we can all stay friends. We really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. It's always, I always look forward to, it's so funny because last night I watched this episode. It was like 2 a.m. and I was like so eager. I like crunched the numbers, what I thought were the numbers. And I didn't like factor in anything. I just like added like the points for winning. And I was like, we won. It's like, we did win, but not because of the way that I thought we did.
Yep. So there were, Kyle sent, I know we didn't create like a final drinking game, but he just used our old rules just for.
Oh, Kyle, we're not worthy.
So one time TJ wanting someone back for Nelson, one mention of a prior season, Casey talking about last season's final, two people talking about their kids, CT and Kyle, and one talking about their use of the money for Emmy. So another 5 for the final.
Thank you to Kyle for your work all season. I'm sure you're happy to have a break.
Aren't we all?
I always laugh when Kyle's like, it was the best thing you ever did was take rules on the list. he's enjoying it. Okay. And just to go to a little social media, and thank you to the great Megan Elizabeth, for helping us out this season as always. We just pulled a little bit from the winners. A lot of Instagram action. Like, we have to go to Instagram now. I don't know if I can handle that. But Nani tweeted a very, very cute picture of her and Casey and said, 11 seasons of the challenge, 10 years, 3 finals, 0 wins. My only win was you. Prayer hands emoji, heart emoji. Congratulations to my guardian angel on earth. You are the most driven, most caring, and the most humble human ever. I'm so proud to have you by my side, Casey Clark. Heart emoji.
Aww. Love to see it.
I was just going to say, love to see it. God, we do need a break. Then Casey tweeted 2 tweets, one of Casey and Nani looking amazing. I imagine this the reunion looks, which they both look fire. If it's not the reunion looks, they're just like in a very space-ish background dressed up for the reunion. So that would be weird. These pictures are very cute. Making it to the end of the season with you was everything. Thank you for being my rider. Going against you in elimination was the hardest thing to go through this season. You are one badass competitor. I hope we never have to experience that shit again. Thank you, Challenge, for bringing this gem into my life. Prayer hands emoji, heart emoji. And then Casey also, oh, I accidentally liked it. Oh, I mean, not that I don't like it, but like, I don't, oh, and clicking it just makes it, okay, I figured it out. Casey tweeted a great picture of her in a shirt that says actually went addicted to winning, which I believe she's selling, with the Big Brother key in one hand and the black diamond in the other, and said, it is pretty cool. I'm not the one to ever brag, but this post, I'm doing just that because I earned it and I deserve it. I did it. Making history, being the first to win 2 of the biggest American reality competition shows is an absolute dream. None of this happens by accident. I'll tell you that. I've learned so much about myself the past few years, competing in a very mentally, emotionally, and physically challenging environment. I've learned that no matter what happens or what gets in my way, I will adapt and overcome. With my injury in particular, my doctor said it would take about 2 years to fully heal, and I went back on the challenge 4.5 months post-operation. That's insane. Mm-hmm. I did every little thing in my power to heal as quickly as possible. The pain, the uncertainty of whether or not my body would ever be 100% again lingered in the back of my mind every day. The amount of tears I shed, learning to walk again, the willpower and discipline I had to maintain every single day in order to get better, getting up every morning to do rehab, even when I was in so much pain, but I was determined, I adapted, I overcame. It's what you practice in private that you will be rewarded for in public. From a Big Brother champion to the Challenge champion, I am forever grateful and so proud. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of my supporters. Thank you for going on this crazy journey with me. All of you inspire me so much to keep going, to always set a good example, and most importantly, to never give up. Let's effing go. So many hashtags. Addicted to winning merch, link in bio. And I'm glad that Casey like tooted her own horn like that. It's well deserved. It's points mm-hmm. that all needed to be made that we did not make. You've mentioned the injury in past pods, but
it's crazy. It's like, it is crazy that she overcame that. Like, I stand by the fact that I was so happy that Matt picked CT over Casey at the time. I thought Casey, like, I don't know how Casey was going to overcome that. The fact that she did, it is an unbelievable achievement that she came back so quickly and did as well as she did. And when it's truly incredible.
Tori Deal, Instagram, what an incredible season. She posted a video like montage of what looks to be like stuff after, like going out after the challenge. What an incredible season. I came in second place, the highest I've ever placed, won 50K, the most I've ever won, and left with a bunch of friends and partied in Ibiza after. I know I might not be a champ yet, but I feel like it. Clap emoji, white heart emoji. So thankful for everyone in this video. Also, shout out to the room lamp that we brought with us to the club. Pretty epic. It's pretty funny. She's like dancing with a lamp that she's plugged in. And then she tagged Bernon, Emmanuel, Anani, and Casey, Josh, and Nelson. Special thanks to Casey and CT for the 50K. I will never forget that. White heart emoji. It meant the world to me, and I can't thank you enough. And then this is shocking to me.
What is?
The first comment that is like being put at the top of my algorithm, I don't know how things work, is not from a challenge contestant, but is from another reality show contestant. Can you name the show?
On Tori's Instagram?
Tori's Instagram, it's a man, and he commented 3 clap hand emojis. What franchise is this person from?
I'm going to say The Bachelor.
That's correct. Josh Murray commenting, also kind of a Jordan dupe. Is there something going on between Tori Deal and Josh Murray?
You know, we kind of had one. We had just like the one Chase make it. Is there another Bachelor?
Actually, was Josh on Champs versus Stars? I think he was.
I think that's right. I think he was. That's
is there right. A vibe? Am I starting a rumor? Caught a vibe, you know, that song? Okay.
It's not the vibe. Stop.
Oh, my God. Rourke's going to text me about that. All right. And then let's finish here with Nelly T. A champion isn't always defined by who has the most talent. It's about who can get hit the hardest and get back up. You can hear this in his voice, right? Like, I can fully hear him saying this.
It's so easily hear him saying this.
A champion is defined by the distance he/she is willing to go. I'm learning every day of my life. And thank you to the challenge for giving me the opportunity to level arrow up emoji. All caps, loyalty, new fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. Go check out the new loyalty shirt, levelupclothing.live. I have to tell you, so I went to this Level Up clothing line he has, and I'm getting this loyalty t-shirt. I effing love it. It's like a gray wash. It just says loyalty, and I'm living for this.
Support, I love that he just like transitioned from like a motivational speech to an ad. That's great.
And then he said, I can sit here and make excuses or own my shit. No excuse. Just keep it pushing. Shout out to the Purple Squad for the support. It's not over. Let's go. Scuba Nelly back to the drawing board. Guy swimming emoji. And then he's put a Photoshop photo of him, not underwater, actually in a winter coat, with a Photoshop scuba mask on that says Scuba Nelly T. Watch this stroke. I love it.
Oh, Nelson.
I live for him.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him.
I live. I think that's everything.
I think that's it. That's it. Reunion next week. You can subscribe to this at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Also, where are the reviews? You know, we haven't been here, but yeah. We're entitled.
Give us some reviews. Give us a little holiday cheer. Holiday cheer. You can do that there too. Robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Cone with a C, Brian with an I underscore. They can follow and check out you.
By the way, notice how I always plug Brian's Twitter when we do solo pods and he just plugged his own. It's fine. You can follow me at Lash Tweets.
I have more followers to gain, so I need it.
Also, maybe NGOG will be coming back soon. Just maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. So you could catch up at anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy, and maybe you'll get a little holiday cheer there.
You'd love to see it. Love to see it. You could check our All Stars coverage as well in the same feed. And until next week for the reunion, have a good one.